if we may. So we're going to have the meditation, then it's going to go right into Daniel Namod's song. Now, and I want to explain, you, most of you have heard this song a few times now. It's Daniel's, it is his anthem. And but it worked for today's talk, and I can't hear it enough, quite frankly. You know, it's not something we just fall back on. It's something to be used to really pay attention. A lot of lyrics, a lot of names, a lot of words in it. Mm-hmm. And it's worth really paying attention to every single time you hear it to realize the unity of faiths. I always like in our inner, both, sorry, you and I were ordained in interfaith seminary, and where the motto was always in addition to, never instead of.
Yes.
So, you know, one of the things that really crawls up someplace on me is when somebody says, I'm a recovering this or that. And all you're doing is hanging on to your loathing of your spiritual past. That spiritual past got you here. My spiritual past got me here.
Absolutely.
So I don't have to hate my spiritual past anymore. And I don't have to hate my parents for being in it and their parents and whoever still wants to be in it. We're not recovering anything in regards to religion and spirituality. We are truth students. Right. I am a truth student. And I want to remind everybody of that now before we go into your meditation and then the song, and then I'll be in to do the talk. Thanks, Britt.
Well, good. Well, thank you, Sean. That's so important to remember that our past is holy. Our past, every aspect of it is what got us to this moment, just like this moment is getting us to the next one. It's all a part of it. And I remember years ago when I thought it was so clever to all the people that would say, I'm a recovering Catholic. I thought, that's so cute, And then as I evolved on my own path, on my own journey, there was a gentleman, I've only seen him one time. He was kind of an angel that showed up at Symphony Space and in the exit line or the hug line, as Carlos likes to call it. He said something to me. He said that was insulting to him. And I said, thank you for sharing that, because the last intention I ever have is to insult anyone.
Right.
On purpose. Sometimes, in fun with friends.
Well, it's never your intention to insult anyone. I get it. We're all sensitive in our own specific areas. You say our past is holy. Some of us, our past is sketchy. And it's...
I call mine my holy hell. It don't mean it was good and fun, but it got me here. Yeah. It got me here. So let's meditate. Let's get into that song that reminds us of our oneness.
Yes.
And let's see where it goes.
Go.
Okay.
Go.
See you on the other side.
I go. Like bye-bye.
And we're off. And let's begin where we hopefully always do when we take time for meditation or stillness or a time to downshift. We start with the breath. Let's start with the breath and put our focus on that breath and allow that breath to slow us down, to fully bring us into this present moment, and let that breath fill your body at the right pace for you from the top of your head down to the very, very tips of your toes. And take a really focused, full, deep breath. And notice where you might be holding any tension. If you wake up early, you've been up a while and you're fully awake, and some people may just now be tuning in, still lying in bed. But wherever you are, just notice where you might still be holding some tension. And let the breath work its magic and its wonder in dissolving those places. And today, we're focusing on our power. We know that our first unity principle is that there is one power and one presence in the universe and in my life, God, omnipotence. And let us take a few moments to go to that place and when it's time to come out of that focus, you'll hear a gentle chime. There is only one power and one presence in the universe and in my life, God, omnipotence. And as you continue to breathe, we remember that there is only one power as the universe and as my life, God, omniscience. There is only one power as the universe, as my life, God, omniscience. Allow those words to move into a deeper place. And continue breathing in, knowing that there is only one power that is the universe, that is my life, God, omnipresence. One power is the universe and is my life, and that is God, omnipresence. And we know, just as we know and realize our oneness, in spite of any differences, there is only one power and one presence. And we allow this truth to seep down into every cell of our very being and allow it to take hold, just as pouring water into the soil combines two ingredients to make one. Oneness, wholeness, there is one power and there is one presence. And let's know this in the silence together.
one power, invisible. And you see it everywhere and every day. One power indescribable. And you speak of it with every word you say. Mysterious until you know the truth. As simple as the love inside of you. Call it God, call it Spirit, call it Jesus, call it Lord, call it Buddha, Baha'u'llah, angel's wings or heaven's door, but whatever name you give it, it's all one power, can't you see? It's the power of the love in you and me. One power, yeah. One power. We speak so many languages, different clothing, different colors, different names, but different is only dangerous when we forget that in the heart we're all the same. And we'll remember once we close our eyes to see that such distances were never meant to be. Call it God, call it Spirit or Jesus or Lord, call it Buddha, Baha'u'llah, Hashem or heaven's door. It's Muhammad, it's your mind, it's your soul or it's your sign. It's the universe, it's music, Mother Earth, or Father Time. But whatever name you give it, it's all one power, can't you see? Whatever name you give it, it's the very air we breathe. It's the power of the love in you and me. One power. Of creation. It's an everlasting peace. It's the freedom of forgiveness. It's the sweetness of release. It's the joy of inspiration. It's the sunshine on your face. It's the birthright of all nations. It's the boundlessness of space. It's the beauty of a baby. The serenity of sleep. It's the anger we abandon for its love that's most deep. It's one power. Forever in you and me. It's the power of the love in you and me.
Wow. Leo, I'm so impressed what you did with Daniel's video there from last time. I think we should send that to him. And I think I have for him to use when he wants to, because that's it carries something. Hey, good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday. It's Sunday. And my talk is called What Unity Means to Me. Not what unity means to you or even what it should mean to you, but what it means to me. I got the meaning for me based on attending how many services, taking how many classes, reading how many books, a lot. That's how many, a whole lot. And I read these things and I watched these things and I listened and I got so much. I can't put unity into one sentence, although I'll try here, maybe two sentences. Well, first we'll start with the revealing word, the metaphysical meaning of unity. Universal oneness of God and man and all creation. God, man, all creation. Universal oneness. The only real unity is in spirit. It is found nowhere else because personality always strives for its own success and aims for the good of the personal man, instead of the good of all beings, all people. Good to pay attention to that. Man makes conscious unity with God first at the center of spirituality, this center having its basis of action in the top of the head. The only way to establish unity with God or the Father mind, the Father Mother mind, however you want to say it, is by prayer. God's name is I Am. Our name is I Am. Speaking the name in the silence, recognizing that it is God's name and ours, we establish conscious unity with God. So I like that I have the same name as God. I am. That's one of the things I was taught early on. And what unity means to me is it retaught me all the spirituality. It retaught me religion. It retaught me because what I had was so limited and limiting growing up. And I'm not here to criticize that. Who cares? I'm not using it anymore, so it no longer hurts me. And did it hurt me then? No, it just gave me limited thinking and judgment for those who didn't go to the same church as we did, although our church would not have been big enough for everybody to go to it when I was a kid. But anyway, that conscious, what is it? Thou shalt not say the Lord's name in vain. I was taught, it's finally when I came into unity in my 30s, and I learned, it's a misuse of the I am, is taking the Lord's name in vain. Now I am sick, I'm poor, I'm lonely, whatever those things are. That is a misuse, because if there is no sickness in God, there is no poorness, poverty in spirit, and there's no inharmony in spirit or in God. And so to say I am combined with those things, it takes the Lord's name in vain. What does that mean? Well, it quotes the law in vain because it doesn't mean anything. It's a waste of time and it's a waste of brain power. And so that's why it's taking the Lord's name in vain. It doesn't say you do this and you will go to hell. It says you do this and you will be wrong and you will confuse yourself. It is a poor use of your thinking ability. I have this bumper sticker. It says, I love Jesus, but I cuss a little. A friend of mine gave me that, a congregant, and I liked it. If you can't tell what my ribbon says, it says, I can dress myself. David bought me that after I got my big Unity ordination plaque there, and he said, I think you need this too. I can dress myself. So that's there. I took down one other bumper sticker that I like. Some of you have seen it. I didn't feel it was appropriate for Sunday morning, and it would be a distraction rather than an enhancement. I took the plant away because it really needed sunlight that you're usually used to seeing behind me. So, universal oneness of God, man, and all creation. That's how I got out of unity that I am good and you are good and we are good, is it's the universal oneness, that if there's no separation between us and what God is. Remember, it's not who God is, it's what God is. And that's the I am of us, is that thing. Now, probably the first thing I got out of unity and why I kept coming back is we laughed. We laughed in church. I'd never laughed in church. And so what I got was the joy of the Lord. Imagine that. The joy of the Lord today is active and present in me today because we are all laughing together. And that was so very, very important to me. And sometimes the laughter was irreverent, and some it didn't matter. It was fun, you know, because truth is funny, and lies are funny, and untruth is funny. And so to look at that, oh wow, truth is funny, and non-truth is funny, and we are funny because we are silly beings. We're very silly beings in how seriously we take ourselves, how seriously we take our personalities, how seriously. But I remember that first day I walked into Lincoln Center. I walked into Avery Fisher Hall, and I'd never been to a Unity. A friend of mine, our then friend, he since stopped speaking to me. That's another story. But see, that's what I mean. We can laugh at this stuff. The person who gave me Unity got mad at me one day and asked me not even to say hello to him because that's how he does things. But I thought he gave me Unity and he doesn't want to work through a conflict. So I laugh at that, but I will be forever grateful to this man and I will forever call him a friend. Not to his face because he asked me not to. But I walked in there to Avery Fisher Hall. And I'd never been in Avery Fisher Hall before. And there was Stephen LeHue up on the stage or up in the pulpit. And he was screaming out on a clear day, you could see forever. And I thought, oh, show tunes. I could go here. But he didn't just scream it out. He sang it like nobody's business. I don't know if I'd ever heard that song done as well before or since. And it filled me with the joy of the Lord. And then there was a minister that day named Richard Barnes, and he was funny. He said funny things. I couldn't tell you one thing that he said, but it was funny. And then this woman came out who I had never heard of, Olga Butterworth, and she came out, and they did really poor lighting on her, but she did this meditation that I didn't understand, I'll be honest with you. Some people, Olga's meditations, I never understood them. But I knew she was very clearly an integral part of this community. And then I think I came back a couple of times more and I heard Eric Butterworth speak. So I bought his books. And that at that point, you could really grasp who Eric Butterworth was better through his books than his speaking quality. But it was wonderful. So I went a few more times and then I stopped going. And then I came back, we'll say 6 months later. It was a Sunday after Christmas. And I know I've told this story so many times. But to me, it's such an important day of my life. It changed everything. And I walked in there and there was a new minister. Paul Tenaglia was Eric's associate minister. And he was talking about Leviticus and all those abominations of God and man of man to God. And I found out I wasn't one. And that was the joy of the Lord really took me over because I was good. I was good amongst good. It wasn't just, Sean is good. I didn't take it so personally as that. I was just so relieved because, I'm not judged. I'm not judged by God because God doesn't judge. And the person next to me on either side of me wasn't being judged by anybody that mattered or anything that mattered because God doesn't judge and we are all beings of God. And so that was fantastic. You know, that Leviticus stuff, if you do your research, you'll discover so many of those abominations to God is about a culture. And it's about they were trying to create a civilized culture out of an uncivilized community. And they wanted to bring them into alignment somehow and create a bigger community. And so many of those things are practical. Some of them aren't. I don't understand a couple of them at all. We're not going into that now. That was the relief. I don't have to accept the Bible at face value. That was fairly new to me. I didn't like the Bible at face value, so I just didn't read it. But there was always that underlying thing that said, am I a sinner? Am I this? Am I that? So I just ignored it because isn't that the best way? If you don't like what it is, just ignore it. And so I I kept going back. I went back the following week, and then I went to a New Year's Eve service, and then they were offering a class called How to Let God Help You, and I showed up on a Tuesday at noon for that. They said for $15, you could take this for credit towards becoming a licensed teacher. I did not know what a licensed Unity teacher was. I didn't know, but I knew I had thrown away $15 plenty of times. So I signed up. And I kept taking classes, and Reverend Mary Alice Brown was offering classes, and I would come on Thursdays to hear her yelling at us and stuff. Turns out it was just passion, but, you know, I'm alive, alert, awake, joyous, and enthusiastic about life. My body knows it. My body shows it. Say it. And she'd scream this at us. And I'm alive, alert, awake, joyous, and enthusiastic about life. And she, no, say it. I'm alive, alert, awake, joyous, and enthusiastic about life. And I thought, why is this woman so angry? Later, I realized she was passionate. She had great healings, and she wanted us to have great healings. And I loved that. And so I kept taking her classes for credit. And then, oh gosh, I've gone blank on her name. I'm so sorry. Anyway, Nan Baldwin was offering a Friday class. I took her class. I kept taking these classes, and I wouldn't look to see how many credits I needed, because then all I would think about is that, the goal. And I did a talk here last week called We're Not in the Outcomes Business. I wanted to become a practitioner of the Unity message and everything. So I just kept studying and sitting in the front in the classes and raising my hand for the discussion. And I went to a meditation course. Oh, I remember Paul was having this meditation thing on Thursdays, and 1 week Olga Butterworth filled in. And somebody, and this was one of the biggest revelations to me. And it was so simple. I love the simple teachings. They're the most practicable, and they're the ones you can overlook the most, but they're the best. And somebody said, Olga, I know that fear is the opposite of faith. But da, 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 da. And Olga said, no. Fear is faith. It's faith in what I'm afraid of. Oh my gosh. That cleared up everything. Faith was no longer about what I believed about God. Well, I guess it does reflect what I believe about God, but it's practicable. And when I found out that Unity originally, well, not quite originally, but somewhat originally, was called Unity School for Practical Christianity. And I didn't want to throw the word Christian away, and I didn't want to throw Christianity away. I just didn't know how to use it. So I finally found a way. Oh, so this is how it's practical spirituality, practical this, practical that. Later that fall, I went with a group to England. A Unity group, about 26 of us went to England, and I cried. I cried almost every day. We're pulling away from the hotel, and we're being led in prayer. And it's like, oh my gosh, I am with adults praying together. I'd never done that in my life. And we're praying on a bus, and I'm in England. I went overseas with a group of Unity people. We went to the top of Glastonbury, where I really, really cried. It was just, everything took my breath away, and everything had changed so much that year, inside and out and in my world. But I was learning how to pray differently, and I was learning how to love myself differently. And I was meeting interesting people of all ages and all backgrounds. And I was finding out how we were the same rather than different. Remember Betty Gilead coming up to me in one of the noon classes one day. I guess I had said something like, I know this is how it works out. And she came up to me afterwards. She said, so do you see why you manifested? And I said, what do you mean? She said, it's because you said, I know. And I took that to heart. It's like, oh, I know what I know, even if I don't know how to express what I know. But I do know. I do know. God is intelligence itself, they told me. That means I know. It's in me too. I know how to heal. I know how to prosper. I know how to live in harmony. I know how. I just can't describe it. And if I'm not doing it, it's because I'm fighting it in one way or another. I'm resisting it. And so I kept coming back and coming back. Suddenly I think it was after the England trip that I thought, maybe I'd like to become a Unity minister. Maybe that's what I could do. Can I say this here? Yeah, sure. We'll give it a shot. We were at the Cliffs of Dover. And there was a group of us out on the big rocks there. And Paul came coming out towards us. Paul was with us on that trip. And he tripped once on the rocks. And then he tripped a second time. And he swore. Yeah, that's how I can tell you. I don't have to say the word. He swore, and I said, yes, I can become a minister. I can be a unity minister. You're allowed to swear. And really, these little lights kept going off. There's no judgment around it all. It's just funny, our judgments and our behaviors. And so when we came back, I sat down with Paul. I said, how do I do this? And he said, well, you keep taking your classes, and you'd need to volunteer. So I started volunteering in the bookstore at 58th Street. One day, Thursday afternoons, I volunteered down there. And I'd have all my books spread out, reading, and Reverend Mary Alice Brown, she'd be running, 77 years old, she'd be running up and down the steps to show us that she could. And it was wonderful, though. I'm 77 and I run. But she'd come down and we would have chats and metaphysical chats and Bible chats. And she taught me a lot of things. I was talking about my last stepfather and some of the things he had done. And she said, you know, there is a saying, what man means for evil, God meant for good. Look how it brought you here. And so you see, more was revealed that day. Oh, I didn't have to hate my past even more. I could love my past. I could embrace my past. And so this is more and more of what unity means to me, in that these people, one by one, mostly women, quite frankly, were passing along this biblical and this metaphysical wisdom to me. You know, when we broke away from 58th Street, it was 3 days later, four of us were going to Unity Village for the first time, and all in the same week. And those of you who were around that week, you know, that was a big week in the life of Unity of New York. And this talk is about what unity means to me. It's also what Unity of New York means to me. I remember I was a vital part in its startup. So many of us were, and I got to play a very public role in that. And I got to be the first board president. I got to serve in that way. I didn't know what it meant to be a board president, but what the heck? It was suggested to me. They elected me board president, and I served for a year as board president. It was not the most fun job, especially back then. And then after a year, I had to stop because I was almost ready to become a licensed Unity teacher. And that was important, the more important to me. I didn't want to leave the church, and I didn't want to, you know, we had to deal with a lot of personalities and stuff. And how do you deal with the personalities while remembering, oh, wait a minute, we're all good. In God, we are good. In God, we are good. In truth, in wisdom, we are good. In divine intelligence, we are all good. In personality, not so much. In personalities, sorry, I had a cookie earlier. In personalities, we are flawed and we forget. And if we can learn empathy and compassion in that and realize, oh, am I that different from the one I don't like? Am I different from the one I think betrayed me? Am I that different? Not necessarily. I have character assassinated. I may not have killed a body, but I have character assassinated as a divine spiritual being. Anybody out there? You know, have you done that? And when we opened Unity of New York, we did some fun things. I remember going to, there was a group of us that went to Unity Village together for our trip that year. And I had, because I'd been there a few times at that point, I could lead people around. And we all went to the Tracy Street Church, which is the very first Unity Church in downtown Kansas City, at Tracy Street. I gave everybody directions, almost. I gave them almost directions. I forgot about that. Oh yeah, go to 70 East. get off of 35, and you got to go 435 and bear left to 70 East to get to the street. And I forgot to do that. And I got down to the church and said, oh my gosh, I gave the wrong direction. This is before Waze. This is before any of that. But I remember Evelyn and Evelyn and Cyrus, they had rented a car and they were driving people. And I thought, how are they ever going to find this place? And you know, just before the service started, they walked into that church. They found their way. And I was so relieved and so apologetic. But it's a wonderful memory of being there. I remember we went to an event at the Activity Center one night. And there was Claire and Becca and everything. And it was, and I had a decent sized rental car. And we, James Dillett Friedman was meeting people in the Unity in and way up. And I was driving, it poured down rain. So I would drive people over to the motels from the cafeteria. And I was driving around to pick people up. And I'm coming around the bend here to pick another group up. And another car with an identical car to mine pulled up in front of me. And Claire ran and got into that car. At first it was locked. And she's like, come on, Sean, it's for you. And then I opened it up and it wasn't me. I enjoy things like that. Things like that. Those are fond, fond memories for me. Claire and I spent a lot of time at Unity Village studying together. My friend Joy came the first time. Erica Trantham was there studying. There have been so many wonderful, wonderful memories. But I will be forever grateful for those first teachings, realizing I am good. I am good. I am good. You are good. You are good. We are good. We are good. I'll be forever grateful for the music that was revealed to me. I'll be forever grateful for the laughter that was allowed to happen in a spiritual atmosphere. I'll be forever grateful, I always say, to the late Ruth Warwick, because she was supposed to fill in for Paul one day for a class. And she was 55 minutes late for a 1 hour class. And I got to teach that class. And that's how I became a teacher at Unity of New York. I'll be forever grateful for every person that started studying with, you know, first we were students near next to each other. And then so many came to my classes. I feel like I'm doing an acceptance speech, and I'm not. I'm telling you, what unity means to me is my oneness with humanity, my oneness with society. Even in this past few years, with all of the political upheaval, with all of the upset, with all of the anger, I was still able to pray for those who I was afraid of. I was able to affirm and remember, wait a minute, we are still good. Both of us, not just one of us. Both of us are still good in God. I don't know why some of these people have forgotten that they are good and that they can prosper without stealing, without lying and everything. But nevertheless, in God, they are good. I am good. And I knew that things will change if I maintain this way of thinking. And I know that if we maintain this way of thinking, wait a minute, we're all good here. Capital G, good, has no opposite. If we together as unity keep maintaining that on our planet, wait a minute, it's not just me who is good in God, it's my neighbor here and my neighbor here. We are good in God, and may we embrace that, and may we laugh together, and may we rejoice in the joy of the Lord, the joy of the law, that truth is always going to be true, love is always going to be love, peace is always going to be peace. And there is no God that would ever withhold it from us. There is no aspect of life that would ever withhold the joy of the Lord from us. And so we, in our understanding of unity, in our universal oneness of God, man, and all creation, can insist that we think this way, and that we would leave no one out of the kingdom. Whatever God isn't leaving anyone out. And so now it's up to us, people. We cannot leave anyone out. And so this, we're going to close here with a song that David Friedman wrote years ago in a class he was taking with Paul Tenaglia. And he wrote this, and Spiritus recorded it. And so you're going to hear that. And it was Britt's idea this week, and I liked it, because originally we were going to have either a soloist sing it or Spiritus like lip sync to it and do a video. And Britt said, why not do photographs? And I thought, that is great. And so Leo and I talked, and this is a lot of what unity means to me. It's not nearly enough, but the song's only almost 3 minutes long. The song would need to be hours long to fit in all that unity means to me. But on this beautiful spring day, let's look and you reflect and what unity means to you as you watch some of what unity means to me. Thank you.
Every prayer is answered. Every prayer is heard. Every thought and feeling, every spoken word, what your soul has longed for, what your heart can feel, is already no one out there. There is no one else. You hold all the answers deep inside yourself. There's a voice that whispers, there's no you, no me. There's just one, there's just unity. One power, one presence, one light to lead the way. All loving, all knowing, that answers when you
darkest, and your eyes can't see. Gather all your troubles, give them all to me.
I am always with you. I will always.